Last week we talked about putting wet wood on a fire and said, you know, it would dampen the fire and could even put the fire out, the campfire out. And we related this to the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we, if we put wet wood, which would be sin, on the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we could put that fire out eventually, but we would surely dampen it with the sin that we allow into our lives. And if you missed that message, you can listen to it online. Today, we're going to look at some dry, good wood, which we need to put on the spirit, fire of the Spirit. Things that make the fire of the Spirit burn bright within our lives. And this is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Each one of those things is a piece of good wood. And over the next weeks, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and we will look at those nine different dry logs which we can place on the fire to make it burn bright within us and that others might see it. We're going to start today by looking at love. In the English language, love has so many different meanings, doesn't it? I can love the ice cream or the cake or the pie. I can love a movie. You know how many of us, you know, I can love a movie. I can love our pet. I can love our family, my kids, my wife. And I can love God, but all in a different way. I mean, we don't love our pet the way we love our wife. At least I hope you don't. I hope you love your wife more than you love your pet or the ice cream. Or, you know, so it's all, there's so many different ways. And love can be conditional or it can be unconditional. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And sometimes it seems that love can have a real deep meaning. And other times, love just seems to be another word which we just casually use. Oh, I love the weather. You know, and it's just a word that just seems to be used in our language. As a Christian, what is this thing called love? You know, that we find in the Bible. How do we fill our lives with it? And what is it, use is it to us anyhow? Well, love is pretty important in our society. It must be, because it's the main themes of many songs, books, and movies. I mean, how many love songs are out there? How many books, romance books? The market's flooded with romance books and movies. We hear people saying quite a bit, I'm just in search of love. As if it's something elusive and they can't really find it. And the truth is, real unconditional love isn't the easiest thing to find. The Bible declares the importance of love. As we read in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Because love is so important, we see the writers of the Bible have a lot to say about it. In fact, it's the main theme. It runs right from Genesis to Revelation. The love of God is in the entire Bible. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Along with this, Paul wrote that love comes from God. So if we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit is God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one. They're all God. And so love, Paul is saying, is the fruit of the Spirit, comes from the Spirit, comes from God. Love originated with God and continually flows from Him. If we read on in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it states, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." It's one thing to tell someone that you love them, but it's totally different when it's backed up with some action. It's sort of like putting the icing on the cake. Now, I don't know how many of you know, but Dan and Dale are going to get married on July the 24th. Not too long from now. 19 days. They got to count. He's down. 19 more sleeps. And, do you know, I know that Dan has told Dale that he loves her. And, but Dan just doesn't say the words. There's actions that go along with those words. I don't know if you've ever noticed when Dan and Dale drive up in the parking lot. Dan gets out of the car and walks around the car and opens the door for Dale. If they're going to the car, he opens the door for Dale. If the doors are closed in the church, he comes to the door and he opens the door and he holds the door for Dale. I mean, those are minor things. Those aren't huge things. But if you're doing it in the small things, the big things come. Love, being told you're loved, is one thing, but with actions, it's totally different. It's like the icing's on the cake. God is like that. For He not only says that He loves us, His actions demonstrate His love to each one of us. He sent Jesus into the world so we would be able to have spiritual life, a life to the full, a life of being with Him for eternity. He loved us so much that He made a way that we could become right with Him. The truth is that even when we did not love the Father, in fact, even when we didn't really want anything to do with Him, He still loved us and revealed Himself to us. I look back at my life, and there's a time when I didn't love the Father, really. And there was times when I didn't really want anything to do with Him. I didn't want Him meddling in my life. But He still loved me. And over again, He revealed His love to me. First with the cross, and then in many other ways. Now, that is a love the world doesn't really understand. How many can say they love those who don't want anything to do with them? Or they love those who are downright opposed to them? You know, if somebody opposes us, do we really love them? That's a good question. Yet the Father, that's His love for us. even when we didn't want anything to do with him, when we're opposed to him, he loved us. It is called unconditional love. This love doesn't ask for anything in return. We cannot separate ourselves from his love. There's nothing we can do, whether good or bad, that will separate us from his love. People can run away or even ignore God's love, but that doesn't diminish or eliminate his love for them. It is still there. This is so hard for most of us to fathom because our love for others, for the most part, is conditional. It's like we have a love meter with a scale of 0 to 100 sort of thing. And that love meter changes depending on how we feel. I mean, if I made you your favorite homemade ice cream and just showed up on your doorstep and brought you some, and if I came and I did something for you that maybe a job that you just hated doing, and I just showed up and I did that project for you, I would think that the love meter might go up a little bit. You might think a little more of me and be, you know, he's an okay guy. On the other hand, if I ignored you, if we were standing in a group and you kept trying to talk to me and I kept talking to somebody else and kept ignoring you, or even greater, if I slandered you, falsely accused you of doing something to other people, you know, I was talking to other people and saying, hey, do you know what they did? I would say that love meter would start heading down towards zero, if not plummeting past zero. You wouldn't be too loving towards me. That's because we operate on conditional love. We operate on how we feel. And that's not the kind of love the Father wants us to have. Our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally, and that never changes. He loves us so much, all of the time. When we've messed up, he loves us. And when we're on the top of our game, he loves us. We can't do anything to earn more love from him, and we can't do anything to lessen our love from him. He loves each one of us equally the same. It never diminishes, and it never increases. The Greek word for this kind of love is agape. It's unconditional love. That is an incredible love. Isn't that the kind of love we desire? Don't we all want that love? To receive that love? But also to give that love? Isn't that what we want? That's how I want to treat my children and my wife. And others, I want to treat them with unconditional love, not expecting anything in return for what I do. My son told me the other day that I couldn't buy his love. And it's right. It's no matter what I could do, I can't buy his love. Because he loves me unconditionally. And I love him unconditionally. And just in case, I love my daughter unconditionally too. We read in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. It is God's love, his agape, his unconditional love for each of us. The fruit this love is for each one of us. First to receive from God, and then to allow it to burn bright within us so others can see it through our words and through our action. You see, if we keep reading on in 1 John chapter 4, and we read verses 11 and 12, we read these words: "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." God does not give us the fruit of the Spirit to keep it to ourselves. The fruit, the love he gives us, is to burn bright inside us so others will see it. It's not to keep. It's not like, here's my love, Scott, and I keep it and just keep it to myself. What good is that? It's for those around us. Our Father loved us with the agape, this unconditional love, so we can reveal this love, agape, to others. This love which God has shown each of us and continues to show us is that same love we are to show others. So just think back about what we've said already about love. That same love that the Father has shown us, we're to show others. John, in a sense, is asking us to throw away the love meter. That is what having the love of his Spirit in us means. It is loving others as God has loved us. Listen to some examples of how Jesus loved people. In John chapter 4, verses 4 to 26, we read the account of Jesus talking to the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. And this woman has had five husbands. And the man she's with now, she's not even married to. Jesus is God. He's holy. He's pure. But we see that he just stands there and talks with the woman and converses with her and shares his love through words and actions. The truth is, Jesus probably treated this woman better than most other people would have in the day. They wouldn't have had much to do with her. And then we might want to look at John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, where the Pharisees caught a woman caught in adultery, and they brought her to Jesus, and they wanted him to pass sentence on her. They wanted Jesus to condemn her for her adulterous sin and sentence her to being stoned to death. Jesus writes in the dirt, and all the people disappear. And he asked the woman, "Where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? Are there none that condemn you?" And she says, "No." And he says, "And neither do I. I don't condemn you. Just go and leave your life of sin." Wow. What love. And then we find Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector who's fraudulently collected taxes from people over the years. Nobody really wants to be Zacchaeus' friend. And the love meter of Zacchaeus is way down, 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 because he's taken their money and given it to the Romans for the most part and benefited from it for himself. So, but Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree as Jesus is coming through town. And does Jesus look up at him and say, Zacchaeus, you sinner, you've swindled people, you've robbed people, you've been mean to people? No, he says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I need to go to your house. I don't know where the cup of tea comes in, but we always seem to think he goes to Zacchaeus' house for a cup of tea. But he actually goes and has a meal there with Zacchaeus. And he talks with him like a friend. And because of the love in his words and his actions, Zacchaeus turns his life around. These are only three instances, but the Bible is full of examples of unconditional love right through the Old Testament and the New Testament. In each one of these cases, we see Jesus loving people with agape, unconditional love. He's not looking for anything in return. He just treats them with that love. He loves them all the same. Not one better than the other. He loves them the same as he loves his disciples. As he loves each one of us. He loves them with kind words spoken in truth. And with actions. And this is why in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, this isn't just that polite, being polite to our neighbors when we think it's appropriate. Here as well, the Greek word is agape, unconditional love. Unconditional love. This means to love even those who rub us the wrong way. You know, when you're in the parking lot and it's Christmas, I know we're only in July, but it's coming, and you know, you've gone to Kamloops and the parking lot at Aberdeen Mall is jam-packed and you're driving down and you finally see a parking space or there's somebody just backing out of a parking space and you think, great, and you wait for them to back out and they back out and they sort of turn towards you, and as they turn towards you, another car pulls in there. Yeah, love them. Love them. Then there's those who, when you're camping and you've gone for the peace and the quiet, and the people in the next campsite decide to party and stay up late, and they're a little noisy till the wee hours of the morning. Do we love them? Or those that we're talking with and they can't control their language? Or how about the politician who doesn't keep his promise or her promise? Or those who believe differently than us? Or those who've taken someone else's life? Or done some other horrific thing? We are to love them all unconditionally. Now, this doesn't mean we condone or accept their actions, but we love the person, the people, who are made in the image of God. We love them with the love the Holy Spirit has placed in us, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the only way to love some people. It's the only way we can. As John wrote, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Loved us. Just think of how we were before the Father loved us. How we rejected him, maybe. How we pushed him aside. Maybe we even cursed him. As we allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives, as we allow God's unconditional love to blossom in our lives, it's like putting a dry log on the Spirit's fire within us. It can be set ablaze by just a small spark when the wood's dry and it's good. It sets on fire quickly and burns bright. And others will hear our words and see them sealed with our actions. As the fruit of the Spirit, as love burns bright within our lives, then what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35 becomes true. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That word love is agape in the Greek, unconditional. That is why we read in 1 John 4, 12, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. Others will see the blazing flame inside us. The blazing fire will let others know God lives in us and reigns in us. We are his and he is ours. If we don't love others unconditionally, then we place a wet log on the fire and it dampens what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. It's time to put the fruit of the Holy Spirit, dry, good wood, God's unconditional love on the fire, so others will be drawn by the fire to know the Father's love for them. That's what it's all about. The fruit of the Spirit is to blaze inside us so others will see that and will desire it.